Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A ray of sunshine on news there. Sarah Bartlett. Who, by the way, has a Twitter account. Her has a Twitter account. I sort of do. He wants me to tweet during games. You have to be kidding me. Isn't the game enough? Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. And let's go to Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave. Thank you for joining us. It's great to have you with us this afternoon.
Hi, Steve. I'll turn it down a little bit.
Okay, Dave, you turn that down just a little bit.
Okay, all I had a question was, for Penn State, basically, to get the NCAA, the trouble to have to win the tournament all the way through.
No question.
How about the NIT? How far would that go? Same deal?
For Penn State to get there, they'd have to win the last two at Purdue tomorrow night, then at Michigan, at home with Michigan on Sunday at 1 o'clock at the Jordan Center. That would then get them to 14-17 on the season. They would then have to, and even getting to the championship game still doesn't do enough because, Dave, they'd be 17-18 if they got to the Big Ten championship game and lost it. Okay. They would be under 500, and that would not do it.
Okay, well, one other question. It was a Q&A in today's paper, Breaking It, with Charlie Fisher.
And yes.
What it was all involved was, they asked him a couple of questions, one about the quarterbacks, and Paul Jones' name came up. But I had just a question about those three players from Maryland, the one with the quarterback, Danny O'Brien.
Right.
If Penn State would accept him on, that he's actually graduating and have 1 year eligibility left.
Like, well, I know Randy Etzel's released him if he wants to do it.
Said yes, the same deal like that. Kid from Wisconsin that left North Carolina State.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, it's the same deal.
Mm-hmm.
But would those other two guys, the linebacker and the lineman, would they be interested in any of those guys too?
Well, I think that's something I'd have to sit down and ask them what their interest would be. When you look at the quarterback situation at Penn State, Matt McGloin, Rob Bold, and Paul Jones. Paul Jones is academically eligible now. So he's academically eligible. He actually missed by 2 points of being eligible to play in the bowl game. McGloin, to his credit, is in the best shape of his career. Dave, I was at the workout this morning at 5:30. It was 28 degrees. And they conducted the workout outside. They did not do the workout in Haluba Hall this morning. And McGloin is moving quicker, is in better shape physically than I've seen him. Paul Jones is always in great shape. Always has. And I think Bolden looks good as well. Now it's going to be a question as to how quickly each one of them picks up the system. And for Paul Jones to put himself into the mix at 246 pounds, by the way, and cut, as to whether he keeps himself, he has five classes this semester, he has to pass those all five of them and keep himself eligible. And that's what that's what the challenge for him is going to be twofold. Keeping himself eligible in those five classes while also learning the playbook. Spring practice is going to be invaluable for this coaching staff in that regard.
Well, I had a friend of mine that said he works the games up there in the parking lot, but he has the attitude, because he attends the same church I do, and he has the attitude that the attendance is going to be way down this year because of that whole mess with Sandusky and everything else. And I think, no, quite the opposite. The fan interest will be through the roof.
I think it'll be interesting to see, but I think new coaching staff, new blood, new offense, intrigue. As I said at the end of the bowl game, I said this will be the single most interesting offseason in 46 years of Penn State football. And it's proving out that way, which will also bring with it the most intriguing blue-white game since 2005 when Derek Williams and Justin King were unveiled because they entered early into Penn State. They entered in January of 2005, and Joe designed the first six plays of the blue-white game to go to them. Well, I think people will want to get a good long look at what Bill O'Brien's considering doing with the offense in conjunction with a defense that has many parts that are back, which will then dovetail it into a season of great intrigue. And I think that will interest a lot of fans as well. And if they're winning, Dave, if they win, they get off to a good start, and they get off to a good start in the Big Ten, fans will come out and see them play because they have both Ohio State and Wisconsin home this year.
Well, one other thing, Steve, is that the young Mr. Bench from down in Georgia area.
Yes.
If him, because you're going from that beer then to passing offense, them actually having film with him for that whole year, that would be intriguing to get him in the system when he gets here in the fall.
Yeah, he'll enter school in June. That's when he'll enter, will be in June. It'll give him a chance to learn the playbook. I've seen tape of him, and when I've watched him on tape, I think he has a really good arm. He runs well. His footwork needs to be better in the pocket, but they can take care of that. That's a teachable thing.
Thanks, Steve. And you could, Sarah Bartlett, I did send her out that birthday card.
Dave?
About the accident.
Dave, I'm not surprised a man of your class and integrity would do something like that, as opposed to somebody else who just feels a nod and a handshake is good enough.
Well, if you see my cousin around, tell him I said hello.
We will. In fact, he's got a big game tonight, so we'll make sure we get that word to him, Dave. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565 is our number. Jump in. And we did start this topic yesterday, but Mr. Herr wants to know what he thinks I should be tweeting during games.
No, wait. You make it sound like you have to stop the broadcast and tweet something. No, you have plenty of opportunities
am I going to add in the break that I haven't added during the game?
All right, let me ask you this. When you sit there and you hit the media timeout,
mm-hmm.
All right. You hit the media timeout.
Mm-hmm.
You do your out cue. What mm-hmm. happens for the next 30 seconds to a minute?
Not too much. I take a break. Actually, what I do is I look at what the substitution is.
Uh-huh.
I'm always looking at substitution, who's going to be coming into the game. Depending, especially in the second half, I'll then take a look and in my head run through how many timeouts. Who's in foul trouble, where the possession arrow is, and then when I come back, I'll do a game reset based off of that. So, you know, I'm actually doing things that are broadcast-related just off the air. Or, for example, in football, Jack and I will talk about something that maybe we want to, there are things that we talk about that are part of us analyzing the game that end up in the game based on what we talked about in the break.
See, now what I think you should be tweeting is just a quick tweet saying crowd really into the game. That's just something like that.
People can hear that.
But that you're assuming. All right. I understand there's a lot of people listening, but not everybody is able to listen, and they can follow the tweets on the phone. I realize your phone is kind of like the Chiefs where you dial the number, it goes through, and that's it. Quit thumping on the microphone. I realize that the word smart is not in front of your phone. I understand that. But just some ideas. Here's an idea for you. Remember we were talking about the Eagles working their way to number two?
I want to go back to the Twitter thing.
All right. Go back to the... By the way, for those of you that didn't go online to stevejonesshow.com, and place your vote, go ahead and do that, because right now it's 94-6, absolutely.
What?
Yeah. It's tweeting time.
You have to be kidding me.
It is tweeting time. Listen, if they're doing it on the backstretch of the Daytona 500, and
they're not,
Brad Keselowski's tweeting and answering questions from people that are tweeting him, Steve Jones can tweet.
He finished where?
Doesn't matter. He's in the Daytona 500.
He finished where?
A little further back than the leader.
No, wait. He didn't win?
No, he didn't win.
Really? That's amazing. Matt Kenseth tweet during the race?
He did not tweet during the race. He did tweet after the race.
But during the race, no go.
No, well, he didn't have his phone with him during the race. But
he focused in on the task at hand. Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, you saw the 2 hour red flag. They were focused on everything but the race at that moment.
Now that I understand, there's a 2 hour red flag. I understand that. If for example, out of nowhere we have a 2 hour basketball delay, I'd tweet.
You know, and Kozlowski was tweeting pictures. He's now at 130,000 Twitter followers. And started the day in the 20s and 30s.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He ended up with 130 followers, started with about 20,000 before he tweeted the photo from his car. He had the phone with him in the car. He was not tweeting nor snapping a photo during the race, obviously. He was a little bit busy. But once the red flag came up, he just hit the button. One of the questions that one of the fans asked him was, how much battery do you have left? He goes, 60%. So I think, and then all the drivers kind of came over and started surrounding Brad Kozlowski. There was about 10 to 12 drivers there, and they were all being taken part in basically Brad's Twitter feed there from the backstretch.
Really?
It was funny. It was a great moment. And I think it was Jack Arute had the best tweet of the night. He said, you know, this is great. IndyCar needs to learn this lesson or something like that. I'm paraphrasing because he being a big IndyCar guy himself for so many years, IndyCar has never been that fan-friendly or considered to be that fan-friendly.
Yes, they're a little more where Indy drivers. I understand that. I understand that. So, these people all think I should be tweeting during the game?
Again, you make it sound like we're going to... Hold on a minute. Hang on, take a timeout. I have to tweet this quick. And then you take a timeout. Okay, now you can resume play. No, because every time you say, during the game, you make it sound like you,
to me, the game
literally
is
during the game.
To me, the game is when we go on the air.
That's the broadcast.
Same thing.
I give up. I win. I give up. You win.
Let's go to George in Lewisburg. Hi, George.
Steve, thanks for taking my call.
It's great to hear from you, George.
What's that?
It's great to hear from you, George.
Oh, thank you. Two tweet issues. One is, I would say to Kevin, I think Juan Pablo Montoya was probably tweeting when he took out that dryer truck last night.
It could have been. It could have been.
If he wasn't then, he sure was afterwards. He looked like one beaten-up Chico when he got out of that pummeled car, and I'll bet you all the drivers standing around were talking about Juan Pablo taking out the dryer truck. But
that's all anybody was talking about.
Yeah. Well, they had 2 hours to cover it. Yeah. Here's a tweet story related to the Patriot League. Kevin may be familiar with it. Ryan Spadola, star receiver for Lehigh University, forwarded a tweet. He didn't create a tweet. He forwarded a tweet that happened to include the N-word. So he was not allowed to play against North Dakota State in their game. They got a bye in the first round. They won their second round game, and then they played North Dakota State. So I guess we're going to need tweet police out there. You know, I didn't realize the NCAA was scanning people's tweets.
Well, you have to be Twitter smart. You have to be Twitter smart.
Tweety.
Well.
Tweety. Oh, there you are. You have to be Tweety. Now, that's somebody that tweets too much. You're Tweety.
You know what we do have? We do have, for example, everything's monitored. You're monitored on Facebook. You're monitored on Twitter. You're monitored by so many things end up on YouTube. You're monitored walking down the street now. Everywhere you look, you're monitored.
Well, Steve, to that point, I got a correspondence from an ex-girlfriend overseas, and she said, why don't you get on Facebook, which I was not on. So I went to Facebook, and I filled out all the required fields, the bio fields, and I got to the end, and I said, good God, this is perfect for identity theft.
Right.
And I did not join. And, of course, I was getting streams of friends saying, I want to be your friend, I want to be your friend, and they probably think I'm a jerk because I never signed up, but... This day and age of the social networking, free stream of consciousness can get people in trouble.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, look, anything can get you in trouble. But if used right, it can be enjoyable.
Well, I don't disagree.
But again, there's always that line that you cross. The reason I don't do Twitter during a broadcast or whatever, and a lot of people do. There are a lot of people that do. I just feel like my job is to be there to do the broadcast and to work with Jack and just to stay in the flow of what's going on with the game. I can multitask because obviously, but there are times you have to concentrate on what you're doing, and I think it's been pretty obvious over the past 4 months there are certain things I've had to concentrate on more so at any time in my broadcast career than it would be doing Facebook or Twitter.
I completely agree with you. If you guys are talking about a serious question about tweeting during a broadcast, breaks in the broadcast, going to commercial and so on, it's a time to work with your partner and rehash the past, talk about the future of the game, play sequences and so forth.
There's so many things during the break, George, that Jack and I talk about or Dick and I talk about that then make it first thing out of the commercial break that then takes off and spawns its own life. Mm-hmm. And that happens all the time. Believe me, the time in commercial breaks is spent usefully between Jack and myself and Dick and myself. Or sometimes Jeff Tarman, who's our producer, he actually may say something to us and we'll say, okay, it's something he saw. So believe me, the time that we spend in a commercial break is usually productive time that ends up making the broadcast.
Sure.
In all seriousness.
Well, I'll bet you your listeners appreciate that.
Yeah, I hope they do. Yeah, and you try to give them the best you have, and I don't feel like tweeting that it's starting to rain when I'm going to come on the broadcast in 10 seconds and say it's starting to rain.
Absolutely. I think somebody. I'll wrap up, but I think somebody really ought to look into that Juan Pablo Montoya. I don't think something broke in that car.
Well, it looked like he was trying to catch up to the field. And, I mean, here's Fox. How many cameras do they have on the 2.5-mile oval at Daytona? And they don't have a shot of it.
Not one.
They don't have a single shot of it. They have cameras everywhere. I mean, you talk about the absolute worst spot it could have happened for them.
The guys in the production truck were probably tweeting.
George, thanks so much. Appreciate it. It's great to hear from you, my friend.
By the way, the Kozlowski photo is on stevejonesshow.com. So if you haven't seen it yet, go visit our website and take a look at it. And Steve right now is on his way to the website.
1-800-795-9565. Back with more after this on the Steve Jones Show with Kevin Hur on WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza must sell 45 more new Fords by month's end to break an all-time sales record for February.
And they're determined to do it.
SMC has $5,700 off of a new 2011 Ford Edge. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 60 months. Take $4,000 off a new F-150. Plus, no interest for 5 years. Sunbury Motors has $2,000 off all 2012 Ford Fusions and Escapes. Plus, you get 0% financing for 60 months. Every new vehicle at Sunbury Motors comes with an extra set of tires during this President's Day sales event. Huge discounts plus 0% financing saves you thousands over the length of your loan. SMC has been satisfying more customers since 1915. Why would you buy a new Ford anywhere else? Take advantage today of the President's Day sales event at Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. The only place you receive an additional set of tires with your new Ford purchase.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell, Senior Master Technician for Ford. Jim, a lot of people hear about the works and they figure it's an oil change.
No, Mike, it's not just an oil change.
The works includes an oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate at your local Ford dealer.
What doesn't it include?
That list is probably very short.
Glove compartment, you check that.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 3/31/12.
99.9% of the Grainger products you order are shipped the same day. And 99% of our customers think that's great. But if you're part of the 1% minority that thinks this is too fast, here are some ways you can slow us down.
Talk slower on the phone. Order in a language only you understand. Have your order shipped to a houseboat, then move the houseboat. Or my personal favorite, order a trillion of something.
For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stay in tonight with CATV service together with Service Electric Cablevision. No matter what your family needs to kick back and stay connected, you can have it all in the comfort of your home with CATV service. From digital cable to high-speed internet, digital phone, HDTV, and DVR service, CATV has all your entertainment covered. And for ultimate savings, you can bundle it all together with one of our triple play packs. So bring home the things that bring your family together. Visit CATVService.com today or give us a call to find the product or package that's right for you.
Whether you're under the weather or making sure you stay in good health, you'll always get friendly, personal service from the Medicine Shop Pharmacy in Shamokin. Tom Bradley takes time to know you by name, is happy to talk to you about your medications, and they'll even deliver for free in Shamokin, Coal Township, and Coltmont so you don't have to go out in the cold. They accept many insurance plans. Call 648-5242 to find out more. The Medicine Shop Pharmacy, 605 North Shamokin Street in Shamokin. Caring beyond prescriptions.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents The Road Report. 10 minutes before the hour each weekday morning on WKOK. We'll talk about construction slow spots, and we'll let you know if the weather is going to affect driving. Before you hit the road, check out The Road Report at WKOK.com. Then, listen to News Radio 1070 WKOK to find out what you'll run into on the way to work. The Road Report is on WKOK and WKOK.com.
All right. Kevin Herr. I was talking to Kevin during the break. I said, I'd like to get Sarah Bartlett on the show at some point to talk about her role as a sideline reporter and the difficulties of it and the great parts of the job as well, because it's a different job. And I know, Kevin, you've always wondered why we don't have a sideline reporter on the Penn State Sports Network.
I've told you I was more than willing to do it, and you keep saying no.
Let's examine that sentence one more time. Okay? Repeat that sentence one more time.
I have told you that I have been more than willing to do that, but you keep saying
let's stop the sentence right there.
All right.
Yeah. All right. You'd be more than willing to do it.
That's right.
What answer did you expect?
The one I got. A slightly hysteric laugh, and then no.
And actually, it has nothing to do with you. You would do a great job. But actually, there's a reason why we have not gone that direction, despite the fact it has been suggested. I'm not saying it's never going to happen. It might happen. I mean, under Bill O'Brien, it might happen. But there are a couple reasons that when they've talked to me about it that I've given them. And after the news at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about a couple of those reasons. Before we get there, we have the news at the bottom of the hour. Interesting news, in fact, of the day. Sarah Bartlett, who, by the way, does a great job as the sideline reporter for Bucknell. We're lucky enough to say she also does a great job on the news.
Multifaceted.
No, she's just a real pro.
That too.
And we'll hear from Sarah at the bottom of the hour on WKOK, and then more of your calls.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A dramatic turn of events. Most people do not want me tweeting during the broadcast. They'd rather have me concentrate on my job.
Aw, you spiked that. There is no way.
It's a dramatic turn.
86-14. I just refreshed it. It's 86-14 absolutely.
That I should be tweeting?
Yes. I'm telling you, you're going to have to catch up with technology.
I'm sitting here in the Sunbury Motors studio, and you're telling me I have to catch up with technology?
You have to catch up with technology in your hand.
I have technology all around me.
Yes, I know that. But it's the one in your hand that's missing. I will bring you. I will bring you kicking and screaming into the new century.
Well, you asked about why I don't, why we don't, I don't, why we don't have a sideline reporter.
Right.
Having a sideline reporter does not affect me in the least. It has no effect on me whatsoever. When the play's on there, the play's on there, and I call the play. But to me, a sideline reporter takes words out of Jack Ham's mouth. And I think Jack Ham is an absolutely invaluable broadcast resource. Wealth of knowledge, sense for the game, sees things other people don't see. And that is what concerns me about that, that you're taking words out of the truly valuable resource of the broadcast.
And Jack Ham.
I mean, I think that's what it comes down to.
You know what? I totally agree with you. There's only one thing that a sideline reporter would be able to do, and even that is kind of, you know, a question whether it's even going to be possible, is to be able to get you injury information as it happens or if they're coming back into the game. But you guys even have that.
Let me tell you a story about that.
Tell me a story.
Orange Bowl. 2006 Orange Bowl. January 3rd, 2006.
Watched and listened to it all.
Penn State's playing Florida State. Tony Hunt, third play of the game, goes out. The Learfield brass was in the booth at the time. And one of them said, now this is why you need a sideline reporter. And I turned around and said, just give me 1 second. I took out the phone, bang, 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 bang. Came back from the commercial break. I said, Tony Hunt, high ankle sprain, will not play the rest of the night. We went to the next commercial break, and they said, exactly how did you do that? And I said, I texted Dr. Sebastianelli on the sideline, who texted me back immediately. That's how we do it.
I have no debate with you on that. I have none.
And it's I'm not being arrogant about this. I'm just saying you have to remember that the NCAA rule is that nobody is supposed to be allowed within the 50-yard area from the 25 to the 25 called the box.
Right.
It's a rectangle, but they call it a box. Nobody's allowed in there, including, quote, sideline reporters. Right? At least they're not supposed to be. I mean, some teams are far more lenient about it than others, and they let you do it. But there's actually an NCAA regulation on broadcast where you're not supposed to be in there. Well, Wayne's in the box. Or Doug Aukerman, who now is at Oregon State, but Doug would be in the box. And that's how I would get updates. And that's how I do get updates. I text them. They text me. And that's how we do it.
But I completely agree with you with a sideline reporter really not being able to add anything more than Jack already has or will.
And this
you're absolutely right.
And he's exceptional. Okay?
Oh, no question.
All right, and I'm talking about an exceptional color analyst. There are so many analysts that are basic where it's nice to add to the mix. And also, I mean, a sideline report can do something like this too. For example, at the end of the half, get the coach on at the end of the half. End of the game, get the coach on the field at the end of the game. Those are things like that you can do. And a sideline report is great for that. And if they can give you injury updates, that's great if they're allowed to get in there. Those are the things the sideline reporter can do and do effectively. I don't need one to tell me it's raining. I can look out and see it.
Well, the hardest thing, though, for the sideline reporter is trying to fit in all the information, because you're only going to get about five times to speak in an entire broadcast. So you've got to fit everything you do in between plays. And that's assuming that they're not playing like a sugar huddle or any hurry-up style offense. If that's the case, then you're lucky if you get two times on the air.
Right, and it's an acquired skill to condense what you have between plays.
I have not learned brevity.
No. Now, interviews at the end, you know, we always get one offensive player, one defensive player at the end of the game, home and away. And that's worked out great for us. Now, with Bill O'Brien, I think the sense is going to be we'll get Bill O'Brien on there, too. Now, whether we're the ones doing it or they're bringing somebody else to do it, I don't know. You know, a sideline reporter to do that. Because maybe Bill wants to do what at the end of the half. Maybe, you know, he's going to have to be out at the end of the game. He's going to have to be out at the end of the game in some form. I don't know whether we take the press conference or whether we talk to him directly. I'm going to sense and guess, even though we haven't talked about this, but we'll be able to talk to him directly.
That'd be nice.
Which, well, will be a plus.
You know, talking about the football games, I mean, it's going to have a different atmosphere possibly this year at the game itself from a fan standpoint, with Guido no longer doing all the production for the event.
Yeah, evidently they won't be a part of it, and Mind Over Media might not be a part of it anymore in terms of producing the Penn State football story. So that's something we'll have to see. I did text Guido last night, but.
Well, I know there's been a lot of discussion that the band doesn't get enough opportunities to play, and I've read all the blogs and everything that said, you know, that there's a lot of piped in canned music instead of everything else, but. Sure. To me, Penn State football is an event, not just a game. When I go to an NFL game, and I've been to a couple of them, it's not the same. It's not the same thing. When I go to a Penn State game, it's an event. It's a show as well as a football game.
Sure. The Blue Band does a great job.
They
need to do a better job in basketball, but they do a great job in football. In basketball, they're not coordinated enough. I mean, I'll give you a good example, and this has happened a couple times this year, right? They do this little production, lights go down, the whole thing, bang, and then, and then lights come up. Well, they're supposed to play the fight song. So they start playing the fight song. You have to have a feel for what's going on. They play the fight song, Wisconsin Ran Out. I'm like, oh, what the heck?
Oops.
But I never see anybody else make these mistakes, and I go everywhere. I mean, there has to be better care and coordination and a feel for what's going on.
Well, doesn't anybody wear a headset? I mean, isn't there direction in the Jordan Center? I mean, I know that's the way it is a lot of places. You have one person that's running everything upstairs, and then everybody that's a part of it has their headset on.
Right. And I don't know. That one I can't answer. But that's happened a couple times this year. You sit there and go, they don't do that at Ohio State. They don't do that at Wisconsin. They usually wait for their team to run out and play the fight song.
And they do that at Soika, where everybody has a headset on that's involved in it, so that everybody knows what's going on when.
So, I'm sure they'll do a better job with that as time goes. It's just that's a part of it that has to be,
Now did Guido do all the
coordinated better, and he was not a part of that.
Did Guido do all the stuff on the scoreboard as well for the I don't know what I'm trying to think of the word, and I can't think of
the replays.
No, the before the game starts, the pump up stuff. I can't think of the word I'm trying to find.
Well, he's the one that puts it together and choreographs
right.
But there's a listing that they have, and there's a broadcast control room, and they just go through and play with
the video. That's what I'm trying to say. The video before the game starts.
Right. Well, his company puts it together.
Yeah.
Where it's placed, and he does the game. He did the game plan as to where everything was placed. And everybody was on headsets and so forth, and but it was his game plan, and then it's up to the control room guys to then hit it and work it from there. So
the other thing I've always wanted to ask.
Obviously, I'm not involved in
in
any of that stuff because I have my own thing to take care of. So
now, being somebody that sat in the stands for a night game and a day game.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as though the sound system, and you can tell me this because you've been there for a lot of games, it seems as though the sound system for a night game is a little bit louder than for a day game. Is that just the way it is? Is it just my ears or what?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
Do you think? I mean, you've heard it.
No, I don't hear it. And that's something people have to understand. I don't hear much of this stuff.
No, that's
true.
And
the reason I don't is when you have a headset on, you really have everything blocked out. Crowd noise, yes, I can hear crowd noise. But what they're playing, what they're doing, what the band is doing, things like that, I don't hear any of that stuff. I mean, I can hear it in the background, but when you have a headset on, Jack and I are talking, we're concentrating on what we're talking about, concentrating on plays, things like that, you really do end up blocking out almost everything around you. There really aren't a lot of things I hear during the course of the game.
No, and I get that. I get that. You know, I'm thinking you have a few minutes in between, you know, the pregame and getting the game, but you really don't. You're constantly doing something except for the
No, we have time. When we make the walk from outside to inside, usually we're up in the booth relatively fast. I mean, we do have to go through the line where the bag check takes place. But see, mine's already checked, but I just wait for Jack because he hasn't checked his bag in yet. Because I have to record some things. I actually have to go into the booth before the pregame show and record a couple of things. Then walk over to the Jordan Center and do the show outside. So I've already checked in. Jack has not checked in. He joins me at the Jordan Center. So we'll walk back, we'll go through the crowd, whatever, and then we'll get to the media gate. He has to check in. Then we just pick the elevator and roll the dice as to which one will get us upstairs faster.
Now, wait a minute. Don't you have the elevator where nobody can get in the elevator?
No.
Come on.
No,
they block it off for you guys. I know that's what it is.
No, they don't.
There's a certain time right before kickoff that you can't get in the elevator. No. I know it's for you guys.
No. And then, you know, and then we get up there. And actually, there's about 20 minutes when I'm up there where we're not doing anything. Things were taped. The pregame show that I taped with Joe, then Tom Bradley, and now we'll be with Bill O'Brien. That pregame, of course, is sold, but it also covers us walking over because we have to have something on the air while we walk over. Well, that and a couple of other features along the way, we usually have, I'd say, maybe 15 to 20 minutes where before we go back on live where something's on, but, you know. So I usually have that time. But I'm not really paying too much attention as to what's... when I get back up there, you know the first thing I'm looking at?
The lineup.
No, I already have the lineup down. Right. You have to remember, I have the depth chart down.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, I have that down. I'll take a look at the opposing team just to get one more quick read in my head as to, okay, you know, there's Johnson, there's Anderson, there's Phillips, you know, there's her, you know, something like that. And I'll get that. And then if there's a guy that I know is a game time decision for Penn State, I'll take a look and see if he is, you know, warming up, where he's warming up, how he's warming up. I'll take a look at that. So, I mean, there's business to take care of once you get up there. And again, what I'll notice on the field is that I always notice when the drum major makes the flip. I always remember them spelling, you know, doing the floating line. I see that out of the corner of my eye when I'm talking to Jack. And the other part is timing up the national anthem, because we don't air the national anthem. And the reason we don't air the national anthem is that we don't have the national anthem mic'd.
Yeah, it's too hard to hear.
We have a crowd mic. But we don't have the actual band on the field mic'd. And because of that, it's distant and it sounds a little sloppy on the radio. Okay? So I'll wait for that because there are two-minute breaks that we have to get in. We usually take one of them to cover the national anthem. And then the other one we like to do about 2:30, 2:45 before kickoff. Because the next thing I actually do notice on the field, team running out, and then after that what the coin toss is.
So we've established now that there's about a 20-minute span where you do have time to tweet. All right, thanks, Steve. That's what I want to find out.
You remember the Aerosmith signature song?
No, I have no idea what one you're talking about.
Mm, yeah, Dream On.
Walk This Way?
Walk right out the door. We'll come back with the final segment. And by the way, we're going to talk about sideline reports because Sarah Bartlett does a great job. And to talk about the things that she has to do, take care of, and about the window Kevin talks about to get all that information in. And we'll do that probably next week at some point, get her on the show. You were a sideline reporter once, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll talk to Sarah about that. Final segment of the show for this Tuesday coming up after this.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza must sell 45 more new Fords by month's end to break an all-time sales record for February.
And they're determined to do it.
SMC has $5,700 off of a new 2011 Ford Edge. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 60 months. Take $4,000 off a new F-150. Plus, no interest for 5 years. Sunbury Motors has $2,000 off all 2012 Ford Fusions and Escapes. Plus, you get 0% financing for 60 months. Every new vehicle at Sunbury Motors comes with an extra set of tires during this President's Day sales event. Huge discounts plus 0% financing saves you thousands over the length of your loan. SMC has been satisfying more customers since 1915. Why would you buy a new Ford anywhere else? Take advantage today of the President's Day sales event at Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. The only place you receive an additional set of tires with your new Ford purchase.
News Radio 1070 WKOK is joining Evangelical Community Hospital to Rock Red for Healthy Hearts. During February, we want you to help prevent heart disease and to lower your individual risk. Join us for a free blood pressure screening to see if you're at risk for heart disease. There are several days and locations for your convenience. Take just 10 minutes out of your day. It might add 10 years to your life. Visit us online for dates and locations at WKOK.com.
Prom 2012 is just around the corner, and Bride's Bouquet has news for you. If you're a fashionista, if you like drama and flair, come visit Bride's Bouquet in downtown Felonsburgh. Hi, this is Cindy from Bride's Bouquet. The 2012 collection will be the most glamorous prom season ever, with beads, bling, and beauty. Bride's Bouquet has over 300 gowns by top designers like Givenchy, Jerry Hill, and Tony Bowles. Join us every Wednesday night from 5 to 8 for prom night. Prizes, discounts, and lots of fun. Bride's Bouquet, downtown Felonsburgh. Let us help you say yes to the best.
I'm married.
I'm separated.
I'm engaged.
I'm a widow.
I'm single.
I'm divorced.
I'm looking.
Christ Wesleyan Church, for people like you. Church isn't for perfect people. It's for those who know what it's like to fall and get back up again. People who realize that there's no such thing as a perfect person. Christ Wesleyan Church. Visit cwcmilton.org. for people like you.
So, you think all notary services are the same? Here's the info on the super notary service, Wetzel Notary Service. Okay, well, if they're not superheroes, they are unlike any other notary service out there. They're bonded through title transfers, on and off-site mortgage closing documents, off-site nursing home visits, handle registration renewals, ATV, boats, and snowmobile tags, birth certificates, and Russian fax service available. Wetzel Notary Service, 432 Mill Street, Danville, across from Hawkins Chevrolet parking lot. Now open. Unique treasures next door.
Hi, my name is Duke. Dr. Wilson is giving me a great new smile. Now you can get one too in Lewisburg.
This is Dr. David Wilson. Duke's right. Wilson Orthodontics has a new office in Lewisburg, and we create amazing results for patients of all ages. Call our Lewisburg office at 524-3255 or visit Wilson Orthodontics at smilesbywilson.com and start celebrating your brand new smile.
Kevin was asking me during the break about public address. That's another thing I don't hear during the game. I never hear those guys. I just don't. It has nothing to do. I mean, I'm sure Dean does a great, great job. I never hear him. I mean, it's in the background, but I don't hear him.
Yeah, your crowd mic doesn't pick it up very well. And that's fine because it's not supposed to, but.
Yeah, I don't care about that. It doesn't matter to me if I pick it up or not. I'll tell you what I do like, and I wish Roger would do this, but we do this in basketball. It's when you get network effects. Network effects are great.
What's network effects?
They plug you straight into your board. So when you listen to basketball, for example, you can hear the squeaking of the sneakers. You can hear the rim. In football, they pick up all the mics that are on the field.
Right.
They punt the ball. You can hear him hitting the ball.
Yeah, the TV will put like a microphone underneath the baskets for basketball, so you can hear the clank.
On a radio broadcast, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, I really enjoy that. Same, football or basketball, it doesn't matter. I really like that you can hear that in your own headset. And when you do, in conjunction with your color analyst, you can hear the notice the noise traffic in your ears. That's why it, you know, yeah, I can get a feel when the crowd's into it. Obviously, you can get a feel when the crowd's into it. But all the other ancillary stuff that goes on around it, people will say, "Did you see this? You see that?" I'd be like, no.
Although I do like it when in the second half when the band works its way around the stadium and they're directly underneath you. That's great.
I do hear that. I hear that, but I'll glance down, and go, okay, there they are, but I'm back on the field again. You know, and I think it's great that they go around to do that. That's sure. A fun part. They do that in the third quarter of the game. But again, as time goes along, you notice less and less and less of that stuff. Only because, you know, you're concentrating on what you're supposed to be doing at the time. And, you know, so when I hear athletes, for example, say two things. They say, A, the game slows down for you, and B, you know, I block out everything. Well, that's what happens in this. You end up along the way, sure, I notice things around me and so forth, crowds going crazy, whatever. You talk about, it's, you know, the atmosphere is part of the stadium. But you block out other things. And then, you know, the other part about the game slowing down, oh, my goodness. When you first start doing the job, the game comes at you, oh, I don't know, about 100 miles per hour. And then after you've done it for a while, you know, and you get lucky with it, it slows down. It's a lot of fun when it's like that.
Well, that's good, because that means you're going to have plenty of time to do what the fans want. And according to SteveJonesShow.com, 85 to 15, absolutely Steve Jones should tweet.
Well, maybe you should put on there, what should I be tweeting?
Well, I gave you a whole lot of ideas of what you should be tweeting.
What should I be tweeting?
Tweet the feel. What is it that's got you excited about this game? And then, you know, you could use that on.
I have a
well.
90-minute pregame show. I've already told them what I'm excited about with the game.
All right.
Right?
I suppose so.
Suppose so.
I suppose so.
We don't you do a half hour pregame show.
Yes.
Okay? We start ours on Wednesday. All right. So
listen, by the time Thursday rolls around, you've already said everything you're going to say for that game.
Yeah. Now you want me to tweet at you. Okay. Sitting in the booth, watching it rain.
See, now that would be a tweet. That's a tweet. That's all it has to be. You want? You seem to think it has to be this deep, moving moment of time where you have to explain everything in grit. No, it's, hey, rain's coming down, might affect the game. Tune in.
I'm going to say that in the broadcast anyway. Rain's coming down. Jack, how do you think it might affect the play of the field? What does it affect more, the offense or the defense? Right. Well, Steve.
I will. I give in.
I mean, I'm going to say these things in the broadcast anyway.
I know.
I mean, what do you want me to go? Wow. Burgers and booth, yummy.
Who they have burgers in your booth?
Who needs to know that stuff?
No, wait, you get burgers in your booth?
I'll tell you, when Joe was doing the blue-white game with me, I'll tell you right now, he complained one time there was no food. 10 minutes later, it was feast time. It was like Ruby Tuesday showed up.
That's why I go to those games, for the food.
Nobody noticed. Sarah Bartlett and the news following CBS at the top of the hour. For my good friend Kevin Ur, Steve Jones with you on WKOK.